In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Have you ever been invited to two parties on the same day? Whether it's high school graduation season or your kids' birthday party invites or whatever it may be, I'm sure most of you have been there before. The question is, how do you decide which party to go to? Sometimes there's an obvious hierarchy in place, like if the host is a close relative or good friend. Sometimes you have two equally significant events to attend and you just have to pick one. Setting aside the scenario of getting multiple invites, what if you get an invite to a party that you simply don't want to attend? Maybe the party is out of town and you don't want to make the drive. Maybe it just doesn't sound like that much fun. How do you tell that host that you're not coming in a nice way? Well, the way we do it in the Midwest is to say, "Let me check my schedule," or "I'll get back to you," which we all know means "I'm not coming." In Jesus' day, the excuses to give for avoiding a party you don't want to go to would be something like, "I've bought a field and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused. I've bought 5 yokes of oxen and I go to examine them. Please have me excused. I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come." Even these, however, are rather shallow excuses by which to decline the man's invitation to his great banquet. The man who bought the field or the man who bought the oxen realistically probably could have just waited until the next day to examine their purchase. And the man who just got married could have brought his wife to the banquet and left for the honeymoon the next morning. In other words, if they really wanted to attend the banquet, they could have made it work, and with relatively little effort. What these three were really telling the man, just like we do when we make these excuses, is that they think that their lives are more important than the man and his banquet. They're not going to be burdened with this man's insignificant request. All the man wanted these people to do was to come to his house, eat his great banquet, and enjoy his company. And they thought themselves too busy, too important, too above this man to honor his invitation. Such is the case in the kingdom of God. God loves the world so much that he sent his Son to die on the cross for each one of our sins so that we would become fit to be in his holy presence again. God then announces in Holy Scriptures a universal invitation to the eternal feast with him because of what Jesus did for us. All the world had to do was to receive that invite and say, "That sounds great. Sign me up." But instead, so many say, "No thanks, God. I've got better things to do." What could possibly be better than eternal life with God? For some, it really is their fields and their oxen. Whether that's the greed of wealth that comes from earthly possessions, or the pride of the reputation that comes with being somebody in this world because of your many acres or head of livestock, or the square feet of your house, or the digits in your bank account. Yet Jesus warns, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." For some, God's invitation loses out to their marriage or family or friendships, all good things in their own right, but idols when placed before God and his commands. This is something that we can keep in mind, for example, in this Pride Month of our nation. Do we wave the rainbow flag in word and deed to appease our erring family and friends? Or do we stand firm in the Word of God in spite of their ridicule? Again, Jesus says, "My mother and my brothers are those who hear the Word of God and keep it." For others yet, that which gets in the way of attending the eternal banquet is simply a love for sin, for gratifying the desires of the flesh rather than the desires of God from a new and redeemed heart. Yet how often does Christ and his apostles warn that the unrighteous, that is, open, unrepentant sinners, will not inherit the kingdom of God? And lastly, for some others yet, they just can't accept an invitation from a God that they can't see or a God that they can't understand with their limited human intellect, or who can't fathom a God who doesn't measure up to how they think God should look and act. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 1 that God has revealed himself throughout creation as our creator and reveals himself by faith as our redeemer in his word. Yet sinful man has suppressed this truth, even going so far as to make their own gods made out of wood and stone. Therefore, as St. Paul says, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all such ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. So whether it's our possessions or our relationships, our sinful passions or our inflated sense of intelligence before the omniscient God, we create so many excuses as to why we cannot accept God's invitation to find our life in him. Although we all who have received the invitation to eternal life through the word and through the waters of holy baptism are holding on to that invitation with faith and joy, I know that as sinners, at least one of these situations I just mentioned can convict each one of us. We are greatly tempted to consider ourselves and our lives and our achievements as more important than God. It isn't always that we don't believe God or trust God. We simply have better things to do than to act upon God's invitation to be forgiven by him, to be comforted by him, to learn from him, to be strengthened against evil by him, or to receive the peace and joy that come from his real presence among us at his holy feast. Our frequent contempt for God and his gifts is expressed so well in the rite of individual confession and absolution, which is in our hymnals. It's page 292, if you're curious. Listen to how we confess our sins in individual confession. We say, "I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before God of all sins. I have lived as if God did not matter, and as if I mattered most." And it goes on from there, giving you the chance to confess your particular sins if you so choose. That second line in the confession, though, hits home, doesn't it? "I have lived as if God did not matter, and as if I mattered most." It's like we're saying, I've lived as if God has given me an invitation to a great banquet, but I had better things to do. The sobering reality, though, is that we're not too good for God. Rather, God is too good for us. But thank God that that is not how he treats us. Going back to the parable, did you hear who the man invited to his banquet when that first wave of guests declined his invite? He invited the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. These guests couldn't even pretend that they had more important matters to attend to, nor would they have thought themselves too important for the host's time. This group would see this invitation for the honor that it was, for them, of all people, to be chosen to join the party. They may need to borrow some gas money to get there, or even have to be carried into the banquet. But whatever it took, they were going to accept this invitation with gratitude and joy. In the kingdom of God, we are the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. We are like the poor and hurting crowd on our bulletin cover today, hobbling into this sanctuary to humbly receive the charity of our divine banquet host. This invitation to feast on word and sacrament, which has been set before us, is one that we accept with the deepest gratitude and hold as the most significant and important moment in our entire week, even our entire lives. In this divine service, this divine banquet, Christ serves us forgiveness for our sins against him. He serves us his word. He serves us his life-giving body and blood. And he serves us a peace and joy that passes all understanding. To this banquet, you need not bring a side dish or a drink or tableware. You don't need to bring any works of your own. You don't even need to be a certain age. You don't need a certain title or position in the church. You don't need anything. Christ has done it all. Jesus is your invite. He is your RSVP. He is the distinguished host. He is even the main course. Thanks be to God that he is so gracious and generous to us poor, miserable sinners, whom he has redeemed to be his beloved children and his honored guests at his divine service today, as well as at the never-ending feast in heavenly glory. To God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be all glory and honor, now and forever. Amen. In the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.